You've got the new album out, Strange News from the Angels, and it's been out since August.
Yeah.
What have you been doing as sort of like a trying to get that up and running as the new 3D's album number 3?
Well, it's kind of been frustrating because it hasn't been released in England or America yet. It's not happening till March. Basically, there's a winter problem over there, which makes touring a real problem, and we want to, we want to tour with the album when it comes out. So, it's been released in Australia and New Zealand. We've toured around New Zealand.
Mm.
Made a couple of videos.
Yeah, right. What have you done the videos for? Dust was the first single.
Dust and One for Vector 27.
All right. The closest taste we've ever had of the 3Ds was when I think it was Pavement played here about 3 years ago,
right.
And at their sound check they did a version of Beautiful Thing.
Oh, yeah. we might be actually touring Australia with them next year with a bit of luck, so maybe we can both come out to Perth together.
Yeah,
well, that'd be good.
It was quite a while ago that they came, so yeah. The doors are always open in Perth.
Right, yeah.
Now, the Flying Nun label has branched out, of course. Now it's got its London office, and it's also got one in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Yeah, they got the whole world covered now.
Yeah, and have lots of soulmates in North Carolina with Superchunk and Polvo and that being there.
Yeah, well, we've played in North Carolina before, Chapel Hill, and it was a really great place. As in, it was very similar to a small town in New Zealand, like a all university, quite a few bands playing. It was very, a lot like Dunedin almost.
Yeah.
You would have been good for us.
And you would have seen the whole growth of the Flying Nun label, seeing you've been there for 7 years now, the 3Ds.
Yeah. Have I seen growth?
Yeah, you would have seen all the major part of the growth.
Yeah, well, it certainly has changed a lot since we started. It's like a real record company now.
Part of the 3Ds, I suppose the ambience of the 3Ds would be the album cover art and a lot of the drawings and stuff of David
yeah.
Mitchell. Does that motivate a lot of the songwriting, or is he...
Well, generally it comes later, actually. Like, the album cover gets finished after the record, so I suppose David tries to tie it in. I mean, I can definitely see parallels between it and between his art and his music.
I could just imagine David sitting around in some sort of white room with lots of canvases or whatever,
right.
Strewn around the place.
Crazy scientist.
Bits of crayon, yeah.
Yeah.
Crushed into the car.
Yeah, he's definitely very talented at doing very odd cartoons, I suppose.
Yeah.
We're going to animate a whole lot of them. It's going to be our next project.
Mm.
Kind of making an animated videos and web pages and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, that's the way to go. It's simple and cheap.
Yeah.
Web page stuff. Now, David Mitchell and Denise, they've got a little side project, and they did this Ghost Club thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any side projects under any other
names? I've got one called Spacious, which I did about 6 months before the Ghost Club one came out. It's the same deal, you know, Flying Nun released a 7-inch.
Yeah.
They released like a series of 10, I think, altogether, for about a year.
Who'd you do that with?
I did it with a drummer called Alan Haig, who used to drum for The Chills and Snapper.
Yeah.
And we just sort of set up in his lounge and recorded one night just whatever came out. It made the 7-inch, yeah.
Yeah.
Good fun.
That's how it seems a lot of the Flying Nun 7-inches happen, just garagey sort of things.
Yeah.
But the beauty of the Flying Nun label and 3Ds and all the things with say The Chills and Tall Dwarves and that is very much the homemade sort of aspect of things.
Yeah, I kind of agree actually. It's it never would have happened unless we did it at home. You know, it's kind of like there are no record companies in Dunedin, and Dunedin's a long way from Auckland, and you know we. I think everyone who ever started music in Dunedin really didn't need record companies and the like to do it. You know, it was something that we were just doing for our own benefit at the time. It was our own entertainment because there wasn't much else to do.
Hmm.
And, it's definitely something which a lot of people sort of have respect for, because it is kind of like outside the standard sort of rock thing.
It gives a lot of character to the label and everything that everyone does, especially because they're all sort of ring pals between all the bands and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, like it makes it a lot different because the actual musical, you know, the album, say, is made without ever thinking about things like marketing or, you know, videos or anything really.
Mm.
It's come a long way since then, I suppose.
Strange News from the Angels. There's probably two tracks which rock out heavily, and that'd be their first single, Dust, and Big Red Heart as well.
Right.
It's a very, seems very laid back. All the 3Ds are renowned for laid backness as well, anyway. But there's those two tracks in particular. Was there any feeling of laid backness in the studio, especially for this album?
Yeah, there kind of was. Well, it was more like it was. Very relaxed, and we weren't pushed for time, and I can kind of see it. It's like we didn't mean it to happen any particular way, but the songs which we did go in and record, and it was only like, you know, just like 12 songs, well, I kind of think of it. We didn't think, shit, there's not enough fast ones on there or something.
How does that transpose onto the live arena? Do you?
Well, it doesn't really. I mean, like, our live shows are always going to be quite a lot more energetic than that album is. But it's just an album, and we wanted it to be slightly different. We wanted it to be a bit different from our live shows. I think our next one's going to be, you know, live to tape.
Yeah, right.
A two-day sort of recording effort. I think very live and raw.
With the rise of Garage Land, I suppose, really making a dent in the charts fairly heavily, haven't they?
Yeah.
Has that really helped out locally, the yourselves and...
I don't think so. I mean, like... well, it hasn't changed anything for us, and we're only talking like a couple of thousand records more than what my numbands normally sell.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's good. I think it's pretty localized, though. It's pretty much in Auckland. You know, the garage scene is really popular there.
Right.
A lot of school kids and stuff.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's kind of opening up ideas, as in for like, you know, all ages shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting easier to set up.
Oh, cool. That's good. The all age scene is really happening over this side of the country now.
I think it's brilliant, and it's probably really important for it to happen in New Zealand too, because there isn't much for kids to get into or anything for them to, you know, give them a bit of enthusiasm.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Bring the music back to the kids, because they say they're missing out with the commercial radio bullshit which is happening around the world.
Yeah. It's good. Like, there are a lot of kids out there actually go and see bands now, so...
Yeah.
And they're really clued up on what they like.
Yeah.
Good.
I suppose you're going to be doing this Australian tour, which is happening now, and are you have any plans to go up and catch up with compatriots over at Chapel Hill, or...?
Yeah, well, we're just waiting for the album to come out overseas, which is all happening in March, and then we'll follow through not long after that, I imagine.
It's a big wait till March.
March, yeah. Way away.
Yeah.
But we're kind of busy. We're doing a beach tour of New Zealand, and... January is a university shows February, so we're really quite busy up until we get home.